Hey everybody, can you hear me?
Yes.
Anya, you can hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So, let's see, who do we have?
We have some ladies.
Yeah, good. Rinan is here today. Good.
Great. Hello, Sandra.
Sandra, Linda.
Hi.
And
who is
Alicia. Alicia, yeah. It's a lot of weird names. Somebody's been messing with the name tag there.
Stella, have you got a new haircut or have you?
Oh no, I've just put it up because I'm too hot.
It looks really lovely.
Oh, thank you.
And Sarah's here.
That's great. So we've got nearly. Have we got everybody? No, not quite.
Who's missing is Sandra, isn't it? No, Sandra, no.
Charlene.
Charlene and. Sonia.
And Sonia, yeah.
Yeah. With all her 20 dogs.
Yeah, 21, I think now. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
So should we wait a little bit? Just one more minute?
Wait a minute or two, just to give them a chance to come on.
Let's see how... Wow, Sarah is in the fields. Cool background there.
Oh, I love it. I like that.
Yeah, I'm not so technical. I'm gonna dare trying to do any of that.
Sarah, you look very cool there.
Okay, I'm just still trying to figure out all these things we have here we can work with. Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we start? Should we wait?
Maybe we'll wait just one more minute. What do you think? Well, we are already here, most of us, so.
We're missing two still, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Charlene.
Laurie and Charlene. Maybe they're not.
Oh, no, three then. It's Charlene, Laurie, and Sonia.
And Sandra. And,
Sonia.
Sonia, sorry, Sandra. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's get on with it.
Let's start. Shall I go?
Yeah, you go.
Okay, ladies. So what we thought we'd do today was something a bit different to start our session. And I'm going to lead you in a little mini circle meditation because we both thought and Kathy thought that it would be a nice idea. So are you happy about that? Yeah? And I just want to show you that today when I was dusting in my bedroom, our bedroom, I found these and I thought I picked out 11 of them. Can you see? So that's one for each of us, 9 of you and 2 of us. Okay, so what would be good is if you could just close your eyes and sitting comfortably and, if possible, have your feet on the ground and just be comfy. And just take a nice deep breath in and let the breath out. And another deep breath in. And let the breath out. And as you let it out, really feel your feet on the ground. And imagine roots growing out of the soles of your feet, down into the earth, and the energy of the earth coming back up through your feet and helping you to feel really solid and stable. Okay, so now let's just imagine we're all in a little circle, all 11 of us, including those who aren't on the call live. And we're just going to remind ourselves that we're all in this together, that we're all here to help and support each other. I have the 11 crystals in my hand. So symbolically, this is us supporting each other on a journey together with kindness and insight and groundedness and a sense of mutual exploration and experimentation. And just to know that we're all on a positive journey, so that any challenges that come up are only signals to where we can get even better. Okay, so now you can let go of that image and keep your sense of groundedness, and we can come back to the pod call.
Thank you, Anya. That was nice.
Pleasure. It was short.
Yes. Okay. So everybody's grounded, back to earth. Yeah. Okay. So let's have a little round about what's going on in our lives and good stuff, winning and learning and everything. So shall we just go by alphabetic or whoever jumps in first? Alicia's like, what? Me again? Stella goes, good, yay.
Good.
Okay. So my celebration this week is that when Henna had an accident at the weekend by having corn find its way into her inner ear canal, that she trusted me sufficiently to be able to help her in that moment, whereas usually, or rather in the past, she would have growled and attempted to bite me and really not being cooperative. But this time she was really happy for me to help her and also for the vet to help her. So that's a really big step forward, and it's all about trust.
Yay.
So I really feel that we've improved and leveled up our trust enormously for her to be able to do that. So that's our big win this
that's
week.
That's big.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
Great.
And is she doing okay, Stella, now?
Absolutely fine. I mean, she's so well. She ate a whole squirrel, you know.
Oh, yes, I did.
Didn't see that. Oh, but it's dogs, you know.
I know. It's hard. It's hard for humans.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, she's good. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. So who else has anything to share? Brennan? Yeah?
Hello. It's really good to be here this time. I was so disappointed to miss it. But and when I played the replay, I was like wanting to interact. Like, oh no, I can't. But last week was a bit of a funny week for me. I had sort of 3 days that went off track, and Maya got a little bit weary of me, and we were sitting on the bed and she was kind of at the end, and if I kind of leaned over at all, she'd be a bit like this. And I got a migraine, and I got to the point where I couldn't do what I usually do, is like be all upbeat and happy, whatever I was feeling inside. And I just said to her, I'm really sorry. I've been so stressed the last few days. I'm not there for you properly. And she says, but if you can just be with me and be patient with me, that would be wonderful. And she just went from being like this. She just came and sat on my chest. Aww. And looked at me with massive, you know, the pupils fully dilated, and looked at me right here, you know. And she grabbed my hand with both her paws. She's very much like that with her paws. She's quite expressive with her paws. She grabbed my hand with her paws, put it underneath her head, and lay down. Oh. And we spent several hours just breathing into each other's bellies. And I mean, for one, it was an incredibly beautiful moment. But two, it was a big learner for me. I've had a few of them along the way of that type, but I still get lost in thinking I have to be all jolly and whatever I'm feeling, you know. And
yeah, but you can't lie to a dog.
Yeah, but I'll know, and I know that's that, but for some reason I still, but you know, it's a bit a story of my life. So, you know, of course I relate to the way I've always related. And it's something that I've been trying to learn over the years, is to be congruent with how I'm feeling. But, you know, to get that feedback just like that was, you know, it went in a bit deeper. So that was
amazing.
Was a real gift from her. And from that moment onwards, everything just started to fall into place and get back on track. And so, yeah, that was my, I think that's probably my main one. There's been lots and lots of little wins, because of course I've got 2 weeks to catch up on, but I'd say that was the one that went the deepest. For both of us. So there we go.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's powerful.
Yeah. I just want to say something with that. Sorry, before I forget, because it's that thing of being authentic, isn't it? We can't lie to our dogs. When we're authentic, everything flows so much better. And also when we let them know we might even need help, they often give it to us. And that was just a beautiful example, wasn't it, of that?
Yes, because in a way it was giving her a job as well that was really exactly. Important. That was you know, it sort of encompassed lots of different things.
Exactly.
Which actually came up in this week's assignment.
Yeah, it's perfect. The timing is perfect.
I struggled with a lot of it, but I could really see that one.
Okay, Sonia, we're just taking a round here, so whoever wants to jump in is free to jump in.
I'll go.
Alicia, yeah.
So my week was very different. Last Friday morning, I left at 6 a.m. and I drove up to Northwest Arkansas, picked up my parents, and then drove up to southwest of St. Louis and spent some time with my sister. So I left Friday morning and I didn't get home until Tuesday night. And then of course I had to get up yesterday morning and go to work all day. And then when we're done here, I have to, you know, get around and go to work all day. So I'm still trying to kind of figure out which way is up. what I think I have noticed though is getting back home, everybody has been much calmer, including Venus. They've been much calmer and much more quick to settle down. But they still, like, I've got two on my lap right now, and I've got another chair sitting beside me. I've got two more on the chair. So they want to be close, but I was able to get through all of the listening in the car and on my drive home on Tuesday. I listened to all of the Module 3. And then yesterday I had a few minutes to start working on the assignments and getting through. I'm almost done. So I don't have much to share because I was gone most of the week.
Yeah, but that's already a good sign that you're back home and you're calm and everybody wants to be near you. That's a powerful thing too.
Yeah. It is. Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you. So who else wants to jump in? Who's next? Charlene, Sandra, Sarah, Tonya, Linda.
Hi.
Sandra, yay, hi. Hello.
I listened to Kathy's latest podcast about emotional intelligence, and that's really made me think about the way that we set off for a walk in the morning and how my emotions affect the whole, kind of turned it all around, because if we don't have a good walk, I tend to blame the dogs for that. And actually, when you think about the Emotional Intelligence podcast, it comes down to how we set off out. And that's made a real difference to us walking. And the other thing that I've noticed is that we have two different attitudes when we go out for a walk. Nigella's wary of people coming towards us, and Monty loves everybody, so he wants to run off and does his wiggle bum, and he wants to jump up and he wants to greet everybody because everybody's his best friend. But since we've tuned in better, Monty actually stops now when he sees somebody and looks at me and says, "What do you want me to do?" And that's really, really good, because now I just direct them and we just take a different path. And so we don't have any of the over-arousal greeting and very little reactivity from Nigella. And it's just been really lovely. But I think it all comes down to as well is the way that I feel when we set off, and me taking a breath before we set off if I'm feeling a bit stressed and a bit tense and thinking, you know, what is all this emotion about? And let's get out and have a nice time. And it's, yeah, really working.
Good.
Really nice. Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but it's really interesting how we, in our coaching with Kathy for the first cert, we looked at some videos of Nigella and how her behaviour was, and how I interpreted it was very different to how Kathy interpreted it. And so now I look at her very differently, and that's made a huge difference as well. Yeah,
it's really, the language for the,
the way that
so interesting.
I wasn't reading her communication properly, and so now that I do, it's just very different. So yeah, it's been having some good walks and some nice chilling out in the sunshine at home.
Good. Yeah, so the pictures, they're like, oh.
That was the first thing. I couldn't wake up, I opened my eyes and I could see with these bellies.
Thank you. So, who's next? Sonia, jump on.
Can't hear you, Sonia. You're muted.
Let me see.
There you go. Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to do a very strong telepathy.
Oh, flipping heck. It's so warm here. I'm absolutely roasting. Sorry I was a few minutes late. I was just popping the various dogs out so that I had this time, you know, completely clear, roasting out there. Yeah, so a few little wins, a few little interesting things going on with Bella and lots of the other guys. One of the things I did post that I took her for the first time in the car by herself. We've had this thing that, you know, she's often done things with her sister. So Bella had been pretty good about going in the car, and a bit later on, perhaps if we get the chance, I'd like to pick everybody's brains about travelling in a car, because it's the first time I've actually had any sort of issues with car travelling. Now, I know some of it's rooted in car sickness, so that is one thing to mention. Bella hadn't been too bad. We jumped in the car, we went for a fantastic walk, really, really pleased with her, because she was keeping me more in sight. Previous walks in that location, she's gone further away than I've been comfortable with, This time she was definitely staying closer, keeping me in sight. And we actually had a nice meeting of a stranger where she was able to stay calm. She's a golden retriever, very wriggly, very bouncy, very excitable. So I was pleased with that. And actually this morning, we passed very close to a stranger and she was able to, she got a little distracted, but she sort of checked back in with me and her arousal level sort of came back down very quickly. One thing was that after we'd finished our walk through the woodland, she didn't want to jump in the car. Now, she'd been the one that had been jumping in the car, but she decided no, she wasn't jumping in the car. And very sadly, because I did have to get back, I had to sort of pick her up and pop her in the car. I don't think I upset her too much. I probably upset myself more than I did her. And then a bit later on, I had a little think about it, and later on, a few hours later, we just had a little play around. And I was visualising her being in the car. You know, I was literally looking where I wanted her to be. And she did jump in, jumped out again, jumped in, jumped out again. So since then, we've just been playing a few more games with her jumping in the car. And we seem okay. But there was no doubt that although she was jumping in, she was very keen to jump back out again. We haven't done another car journey since. So yeah, I'd like to just, if we get chance, not the end of the world if we don't, just to have a chat about, you know, what I've tried. Because Sandy, her sister, for sure, is not happy going in the car. So, you know, that would be interesting to explore any other ideas that perhaps I've not considered.
Okay. So let's finish up the round and we'll get back to you. Oh,
gone.
Opa, what's going on here?
Don't know.
Oh, Anya, I think you're sharing your screen.
No.
So what?
I haven't done anything.
Somebody's sharing the screen.
Oh.
What's going on?
What's I can't this? Share my screen, Ulla.
What's this? Somebody's sharing the screen. What's going
it's
on?
It's Linda.
Linda.
Linda accidentally shared your screen.
Linda, you need to. Can you unshare your screen?
I'm so screwed up. I can't figure out even how.
That's interesting that you were even able to share.
No, we can share. Let me see if I can.
So
okay, let me see. I can see if I fixed it now. It's done.
I've logged in and logged out. I'm just somehow.
It's good. Yeah. You're good. You're good. You're good. Okay. I just never had this happen before. It's like, oh, we have a hacker.
I'm not that smart.
It was just Linda. So you want while you were on, you wanna share something, or you wanna wait for a little bit later?
Well, I'd love to. I don't want to monopolize things, but.
We read your question. Yeah,
this could be life changing for us. You know, canine and everything. Yeah. I think I understand why there's such conflict in our household, but I'm not sure how to fix it or how to do it. One of the big things I would like to learn is, I think Kimba is so smart. We're not meeting his needs, and that's why he's so frustrated doing his sentinel guard dog thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what job to give him. So any help with that would be great. The insight as to personalities is absolutely fascinating. So I'm now the conscious incompetent with that. But I think that's really the root cause. Well, root cause. I think this is really insightful as to what all the conflicts and hassles has been going on in our household for a long time, if that makes sense. And I can't figure out how to make my video work. I'm even awake and
if you have on the left of your, normally on the bottom left of your screen, Linda, there's something that there's a microphone which mutes you or unmutes you. And next to that, there's the video. little icon.
I've done that, and it says do all these system stuff, and
let me
spent
see if I can help
25
you.
Minutes trying to figure it out, and I can't do it on this computer. Other computers I've been able to make it work, but not this one. I give up. So
never mind.
As long as we can hear you, that's,
you don't need to look at me.
Better than nothing. It would be nice to see you, but
yeah,
it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I'm finally not in my jammies. So.
So, what if we just
ask? Let's see if I can do this. Oh, there we go.
Yay! We managed. We're like not as technical, any of us, but we're managing. No. Oh, you're looking good.
You're in a new space. You're up.
Somebody's talking about being hot. I've got 4 layers on. I've got a down jacket, a vest, wool shirt, and a top.
Wow.
Freezing. I'm in the house.
Okay, so what do you think if we just finish up and then we come back to the questions? What do you think, Anya? Is that with that?
Is that all right? We'll just finish saying hello, everyone doing a little hello, and then we'll come straight back to your question first.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah?
And then Sonia.
Okay. Great.
Also on your first hour. Let's see.
So who's next? Just for the hello. Who hasn't said hello? Charlene? And Sarah? Okay. Everyone else? It's just the two of you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall I go?
Yeah, go.
Okay, so I just a quick update on the man at the backfield, you know, the one with the wee white dog. Mm-hmm. The one where Teddy just went a bit bonkers. Well, I came up with a plan. I made a wee plan. The plan is also slightly, I'm actually reluctant to tell you what the plan is because I know that this is recorded, but it's not bad. So basically I decided that I was going to give the man and the dog names, and names that promoted either happy or sort of jovial like thoughts. So I've named the dog Snowflake and I've named the man Pat, i.e. like Postman Pat, you know, in his wee truck. So I thought when I see them, I'm not going to be freaking out thinking, oh my God, like what do? Filled with anxiety. Instead, I thought when I see them, I can be like, oh, there's Snowflake and Pat. You know, let's just jolly on. And we met them and Teddy didn't do anything.
Wow.
Didn't bark, didn't lunge, didn't run. As we were walking away from them though, he did whimper a wee bit because although Teddy is quite a fearful wee character, he also wants to engage with every dog that he meets. Although he's fearful of the human, he still wants the engagement with the dog. So he had a wee whimper as we were walking away, but I just explained that Snowflake and her daddy, I don't even know if it's a girl dog, but I've decided it's a girl. they had to, you know, be allowed to do their own thing. So it's almost like, felt like the weight of the world had been lifted from my shoulders because that was pretty huge. When he ran away that time, it was in quite a busy car park. Although the cars were just parked up, it was really quite worrying. So
that's great.
That's
good
that.
Job.
And then the other thing, we have been kind of experimenting and practicing being more connected whilst on walks. So I've taken a couple of videos whilst I was out with Teddy, and I just, you know, kept kind of watching them back because there was times where he was really pulling me, and I couldn't really understand why. But when I've watched one of them back, on one of them, like I didn't shut up. I just kept talking and talking and talking and talking, you know, this way, good boy, wonderful. I was looking at myself thinking, will you please be quiet? Like, there's no need for that. So I actually annoyed myself. So I also noticed as well that Teddy's harness had almost like wriggled down. So it was like sitting on his side. So he was completely out of balance. So I experimented with that. We changed it up a wee bit. And then I took another video, which was kind of at daytime, and I shared it on the group. And we walked beautifully. And that's been happening now for like the last 4 or 5 days. I had a real gut feeling though, like all the times, you know, like when he was like, it wasn't like dragging me down the street, but he was pulling, and it just felt like we weren't in balance, but I couldn't figure out how to get to balance. And then that's when I started trying my hardest to take like wee videos so that I could watch them back. And it was on the back of Kathy's coaching just the other on Saturday. So I thought that might actually be quite a good idea. It might work for me. So yeah, it's been pretty good.
Good. I like the experimenting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice when the experiments work. Yeah.
It's okay when they don't work too.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And then Sarah?
Well, I don't think much has been going on, but today's the last day of my summer school class. I'm going to be free.
Yay.
I have worked on my classes every single day, 7 days a week since the middle of March.
Wow.
And so in a way, you're saying, well, once I get this class graded and stuff, I mean, it doesn't end today, really. But then I have to figure out, aside from the fact that work continues at some level, what am I going to do? I mean, it's sort of challenging to think of all the things that I want to do with the dogs and with decluttering the house and with, I mean, just an amazing, you know, so what am I going to do once I get kind of released, you know, that yipes. So that's going to be challenging. I think, to feel
the right thing.
Right. Yeah. It's, so.
Okay.
And
well, that's a lot of things. Yeah.
I think Cliff is coming home. The guy who's going to bring him home is leaving Florida this morning.
Okay.
And so maybe he'll be home around the 4th of July. But I'm not going to feel like this is happening until he actually gets picked up.
Once he's there, I think your question about what you'll be doing, what the priorities are, will be answered for you, won't it?
Well, there's that. One of my friends just bought a new dog. You know, and I was thinking that, you know, despite the fact I've owned Cliff for a couple of years, he's been gone for 10 months. It's going to be so much like her buying a new dog.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and also, like when we keep doing the Chinese personalities, and I keep thinking he's a different personality. So that makes me think that I haven't really ever seen him very clearly. Somehow, you know,
that's exciting. You can look at him with new eyes.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is really, it'd be interesting. Interesting.
Okay, so everybody did their homework for this week. Yes. Yeah.
Let's go to Lynn. Should we go to Linda?
I just wanted to see if everybody was good, because it might take some space when we're going into the deeper things. Yeah. So everybody's good to go with their homework, and Renan, yeah.
A very brief thing. It's in reaction to what Charlene was saying. As you might have picked up, Maya has a problem with Mike, my partner, and it's especially like when he's in the greenhouse outside in her little queendom. And the other day we sort of crawled up. Mike was on the floor potting up, and we crawled up was like, rrr. And I looked at her, I was down at her level, and I said, he's got quite a nice ass, hasn't he? and it just, you know, it made me giggle. And she sort of looked at him and totally relaxed. And it's kind of, you know, it was just like putting light on somebody, on something that she's fearful of. You know? It was just a little something.
Yeah, laugh at things and make it more lighter. That's a good way. Okay. Yeah, everybody else is good to with their personalities and activities. Yeah, okay. So should we, is Sonia or Linda? Linda is already unmuted. Should we have a go at you, Linda?
Yeah, I really would like some help and suggestions.
Yeah.
I.
And everybody's invited to come in. And
I'm fascinated with this personality unit. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a couple of places in Kathy's thing, and I've gotten to the part about trying to figure out who's who. But I think this time I figured out the unbalanced part. And I'm starting to understand why we've got so much conflict in our household, I believe. So now if I'm correct, and I understand why we're so conflicted because of our conflicting personality types, how do you deal with that? Because it says, what challenges might present? I can tell you all kinds of challenges, but then it says, what steps can you do to fix it? It's like, don't know. So I
can
need
you
help
tell us
with that.
What personalities are, Linda? Yours and
I'm definitely wood, and mm-hmm. I think my secondary is unbalanced fire. My husband is metal, which is like why we conflict. We've been together 30 years. He retired almost 6 years ago, and the last 5-6 years has been just horrible because this conflict about metal and wood and spreadsheets and telling me what to do and all this shit. And it's like, God damn it, go back to work. You know, it's like, so that's not going to change. But then we got these dogs. Kimba's Zuri's definitely earth, and she likes to please everybody. We've had her 4 years. Then we got the new one for him, which is Kimba, and he's the big challenge. Well, he's the challenge because those two conflict big time, and Kimba is opposite of me. I think he's unbalanced fire and wood. So, like, we're opposite. And Tom likes to tell everybody what to do. And Kim was like, no way, pal, I'm not doing that. You know, you're just not interesting. I'm not going to come to you because you told me to do that. I'm going to go see the squirrels and the possums, and I'm off at the fairies. And he thinks dogs should do what they're told, which causes all this conflict. So what steps can we do to integrate this new I don't know. I'm starting to understand it, but I don't know what to do next.
Did you saw the answer that Kathy answered your question in
yes.
the last? Yeah. Was
I
that
did,
fulfilling for you? Was that you something you
I
could
did
use?
About not being right, but yes, I did that.
That you do your own thing, and your husband was
I've been trying to do that for a while, but it's like, you know, then you ignore each other, and, you know, and it's hard because I feel conflicted because then the dog's getting these different, you know, information. It's sort of like I'm giving him one set of signals, and then he's giving him different set, and they're going, well, I don't know what to do. That's probably not going to change, but...
No, but it's like my house. I'm the dog boss. So it's like I'm just telling that it's if you have to. And another thing is that cat is also telling us that it doesn't matter that the dogs actually can realize that there's difference between
okay.
relationships between you and your husband yeah. and the. And and the dogs. So I think if I were you, I don't know, I would focus on myself, my relationship, and with the dogs.
Yes.
Because then you'd sort of like create a bubble of safe, calm, and happy between you. That's the only place we can start is with ourselves, because obviously we cannot change our husband, even if we try to. Alicia, yeah. You want to say something? Yeah, jump on.
Linda, one of the things that happened in my home is when I first started working with Kathy, my husband's like, yeah, whatever. But as I connected and heart connection and name game, and we started seeing improved, you know, that they started kind of settling down and being more safe, calm, and happy. And now he's like, okay, how does Kathy say we deal with this?
Okay.
and one of the things that he's kind of like that has had that mentality in the past where a dog does what I tell him because I'm the human and they're the dog. And he's really starting to shift away from that. And he's really learning. But it's taken a lot of months of me just keeping my mouth shut and just doing, you know, safe, calm, and happy in the name game and a dance invite. And so it's kind of like I just kind of finally proved by example. And he started shifting. So I don't know if that could happen in your situation, but that's something that worked for me.
I've been trying to do that, and thank you for that. I've been trying to do that, but I think I get very unsafe, calm, and happy because I get tense and pissed off and aggravated when things I think have been going right, and all of a sudden it gets all changed because he's yelling at him because he didn't do this or they didn't do that, and come here, and you know, and I'm not going to change that. I recognize that, and it's frustrating, but I feel bad for the dogs and I feel bad for me, and I just want to try and mitigate as best we can. And he does come around a little bit, but he's got this macho, he's Australian and he's older, and he just thinks, you know, everyone's supposed to do what I tell you, which is that damn metal thing. Oh God, that metal thing is like, spreadsheet alley, you know? So anyway, you know, but that's helping me understand, but I have to, okay, now that I understand, how do I manage it, I guess is my next step.
You know, we have all the elements within us, so it's just that we have one which leads the way. So that means that you also have a metal part of you.
Oh, God.
We all do. So it's just interesting to, you know, read up about all the different types if you get them. Watch the Kathy's workshops, the masterclasses rather, on the...
This is my favorite thing about all of the classes is it's just so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it gives you so much insight. But it's like, okay, now what do you do? That unconscious competent, that whole thing that she talks about, the conscious competent and that whole thing. It's like, okay, I'm starting to get it.
Perhaps what you could do, in that it seems to me that you, like with Ulla, and it's the same in our household, we are the dog bosses in the house.
Right.
You also have, you could perhaps talk to your metal element and also put a strong message out there that in this setting your own boundaries, in your own way, in a, you know, kindly and whatever, just as Ulla says, doing your own thing, concentrating on all the basics that we do. And when something happens that is annoying to you, find a technique for you that allows you to just not experiment. And I know it's not easy, but we all have these challenges, not just react, you know, not be like a reactive dog, because I know that. I'm a reactive person naturally. I'm wood, like
me too.
So explore other ways, explore something that would work for you, just taking that moment when you're about to react to just do a breath or think of grounding yourself or something that whatever that might work for you. And focus on, or use Ulla's bubble, or focus on something that helps you see the important thing, which is not to get sucked into the usual, you know, scheme of things with
husband.
You know, like if we do what we always do, we get what we always get. So
we all
face this in our lives. You're not alone at all. We just have different versions of it. So I don't know if there's something you can do and in that way. And for example, the Safe, Calm and Happy House, Safe, Calm and Happy.
I'd love that.
That is number, as we remember, it's number one step. So find little ways in which you can.
And maybe laugh a little bit about it, because it's like the metal types. They just want to go through the thing no matter if it's good for them or not. No,
yeah.
It's like, well, I have to. Sonia, you want to say something?
What you were saying about laughing about it, for sure, myself and my husband, flipping heck. You know, there's so many things that we just do not see eye to eye on, or politics, all sorts of things. But the nice thing is we can use humour. And I think that's been the thing that has really... really sort of saved everything. You know, we can have a nice, and it's not a horrible humour, although it might seem it if somebody else is listening sometimes. You know, I'll just call them a grumpy old fart or whatever it is. And, you know, we've had various things where actually a little story was... We had two horses, one quite a flighty, spooky kind of guy, the other one a more confident horse. And Kev used to come back, he'd go and feed the horses, and he'd say to me, "Oh, Rapport, that's the flighty one. He was just stupid today. He wouldn't come near me. Somebody must have been in the field doing something to him." You know, and I would just laugh, and I said, "Well, do you know what? I'm not going near you today. You know, you're carrying this huge black cloud with you." And he said, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." I said, "Well, have a little think about it. You know, how are you feeling?" And then he said, "And then Toby bit me, you know." And I said, "Yeah, he was telling you to get a life, you know, sort yourself out." And it's little things like that, where actually it really, really worked, because he did start to sort of think, "Oh, why won't my poor come near me today?" You know, and then he would start to think, "How am I feeling? Am I in a bad mood?" Which he'd never, never thought of before. And then coming back to our dogs, because, yeah, we have different ways of being with our dogs, although he's not necessarily a very authoritarian. And I think that the thing that, again, I've never said anything, I've never suggested anything, I do the role modelling, and I do notice that he does things in a similar way. I think if I was to have suggested something, he probably would have dug in. You know, he does have that side to him, you know, "I'm going to do what I want to do" kind of thing.
As soon as you start
to suggest things, well, you just don't. You know, you just don't. I think for sure, role modelling, and then just that witnessing that it works. You know, and the dogs, you know, they're sort of choosing me to hang out with. They're not necessarily following him. Now, that sounds a bit sad in many ways, but I think he does realise, you know, why it is. And I do see some, it takes a long time, it's been together a long time. But I think, yeah, I have my own little mantras as well, depending on the situation, whether it's a human, whether it's a dog, horse, whatever. And I do find, you know, I haven't used "Say Calm and Happy" particularly. I have sung that "Happy Cell Body" song a few times, you know, if I'm just wanting to get a little bit of a more upbeat thing going on. So it's all those little things. So the first thing is, yeah, definitely recognizing when your button's been pushed, because it's our nearest and dearest that push our buttons the best. And it is because we care, you know. And then having the little mantras. And often, to be sure, I'll do what Lappy does and I'll just clear off out of there. You know, I'll just disappear for a while and then come back later. You know, so I think it's probably a combination of a few. A few techniques, really, whatever you think, you know, is going to help you that day. But yeah, disappearing from the situation, I've found quite effective. So I don't know if that helps.
It does. Thank you very much. It's just, you know, it's so frustrating because you try so hard and then someone else is going, and you just go, oh.
So what can you do in that moment if you already know it's going to happen? Do you think you can have like a plan that so you don't get caught off guard like, well, what you're going to think, or you're going to leave, or sorry?
Sonia says I can run away.
Yeah, well, you can if it's actually good to have been thinking it through, so you have some sort of plan. Is not that you have to be rigid to the plan, so that you're not caught off guard. And since you're a wood person, you like this exploring new things, so it's like you're being caught off all the time. So don't let that happen. It's like, don't go in there in his world.
I've been trying to ignore him a lot, but that's not working. I feel really cruel and I feel very disconnected and stuff, but that way I don't scream and yell and get pissed off and say nasty things that I would regret. But I'm not happy with that. You know, I don't feel comfortable with that.
So what else can you do? You've been thinking.
I don't know, really. I could use some help with that. I mean, I hear breathing, but, you know, when someone's in your face all the time.
So all the time is always in your face, or is there sometimes it's calm?
He likes to hang around a lot, you know. I call him my helicopter husband. He's like, and it's just like, oh, go away, you know. It's like, you know, I feel constricted. And
could you give him a job to do, Linda?
Oh, I'd love to. I've tried
something very specific and nice and structured, which would meet his needs
for him.
You know, he's very needed for something.
That's the problem. He came from a very high-powered jobs from 68 countries in the world he worked and all that stuff. And now he's retired and he decided he's just here. He needs to control me. Mm. And it's like, I'm not happy with that. But that's my problem. But, you know, the issue is he likes to tell everybody what to do, and I can deal with it, but the dogs can't deal with it. Zuri ignores him because she's earth, but Kimba and he conflict really strongly. And Kimba was supposed to be his dog. You know, we got him as a puppy to give him a dog, you know, like to take care of and stuff. So it's been a real disappointment from what we expected. And it's
so
not
you're disappointed about Kimber too?
Yeah, actually, yeah, because I don't trust him. He could be a biter, and he's a reactive dog. Yes.
So when you're a biter, what so he's, you said, what was his, was he a water dog or
fire and wood?
I believe he's unbalanced fire and wood, I believe is what I put on him.
Because sometimes if you're like fear biter, it's
he's
very
really,
very sensitive. I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, because my dog is she's not biting, but she's barking if she doesn't feel comfortable.
He hasn't bitten yet, but I feel that's definitely a possibility. The other day he had a tick on him, a paralysis tick, which can kill them. We are in Australia, paralysis ticks can kill big time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get him to hold still so I could get it off. And I even put a muzzle on him. And we ended up having to take him to the vet for a couple hundred bucks because I couldn't get him to hold still so I could do it.
Yeah.
So there's
like a little bit of trust liking there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there anywhere you can start building on the trusts? It's like,
How do I do that? I would love to, because he's so damn smart. And I think we're not meeting his needs. I'm saying like, he's this and that and the other thing. We're just not meeting his needs.
So what the basic need we have is what?
Like, well, to stay calm and happy. And to feel like you're contributing in a job and
and besides that, and what else? Being
loved, you know, he's loved.
Accepted the way you are right now in this moment.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've gotten a bit better about that the last few months doing this course.
So you feel that has changed anything in your relationship, that you have accepted that who he is?
With me, I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm not trying to tell him what to do all the time. I'm trying to understand him. And I'm not trying to be like I'm better than Tom kind of thing. I don't mean that at all.
We're not talking about that. We're just talking about your relationship with Kimber.
He's just what we expected and what we got were so different. And he's just he's reactive. I think he's just too damn smart. Reading that whole thing about unbalanced fire, I believe that's what he is.
Okay.
And the cortisol thing, his cortisol bucket is so full all the time.
Yeah. So what can you do to take it some of the cortisol out if we start with it?
We try to manage that with, you know, trying to keep him away when the rubbish bins go up the driveway, or when we know things happen. Mm-hmm. But when things happen that we don't know, like cars come up and down, or somebody rides a bicycle down the road, can't control that. So,
have you had any like hard connection with him and talk with him about things and stuff?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, because I have like my dog is very reactive to everything as well. And it's like just the fact that I told her that I will do my best to have her back and not on purpose put her in situations that will make her react. That was the opening of our relationship. So I'm just looking for some small piece that we can build on. It's like, because he's obviously communicating something.
Yeah,
that we're not getting yet.
That he's not, well, we're not meeting his needs, exactly.
Well, maybe you could try, maybe you could try just in one of having a heart-to-heart conversation or in your mind, whatever, and just say to him, look, I'm doing my very, very best to understand you better. Can you help me to understand you? Can you help me to do this, to make our lives better? I do that a lot with my animals, and it's so powerful. He wants to help. He wants to belong. He wants to be heard. Yeah. He wants to be seen. And, you know, maybe move away from the idea, as you said, that he's too damn smart, the way you put it, but rather that he's so amazingly clever. That is so wonderful. And that he will, and you know, that thing of having expectations which were not met, that you were disappointed that he wasn't the dog you imagined.
Yeah.
Try your best to just let go of that. Just let go. He's there perhaps for a reason. And the fact that you're feeling something there means that it's true. He's there for a reason. He chose you to. And you have the potential to go on this amazing journey together.
And he will, I believe you're right. Yeah.
I think it's.
I do believe you're right. And I would like to know how to help him. And I think helping him helps all of us.
Absolutely.
I really think this whole personality module thing is a key to, the understanding and like, okay, what do you do now kind of thing. So. I think it's life. I think it could be life changing, actually. Yeah.
What I was using mind for was just to have a better understanding, so you can navigate in this space better. So it's like, oh, he's reacting like this because of that. So then I can then I understand things better.
Mm. Can I say something?
Yes.
I'm just seeing Linda as how I was 6 months ago with Monte. And I don't know if people can remember back when I had a coaching call with Cathy, and I was in exactly the same place with Linda, and I was so upset because I couldn't connect with him. And Cathy just simply said, what's easy? What is easy about Monte? And I sort of said, when he's asleep. Okay, so what next is easy about Monte? And what next is easy about Monte? And what next is easy? And we did this for about 20 minutes, and before long I'd got a whole list of things that were easy about Monte. And then she just said, okay, so focus on that. Focus on that and love the easy. And then the other stuff starts to get easier. Can you understand that? And it was just so profound for our relationship, because yeah, I could think about what was easy about living with Monte, and he wasn't reactive. He was just a fire dog who was full of life and just wasn't what I expected him to be. And it just going through that process of thinking about all the tiny little things when he was easy was just so profound. And at the end of that conversation, I looked down and he was sat at the side of me with his big brown eyes looking at me. And I was like, you, Linda, I was just in bits. But it just made such a big difference. Because then, as we went through our daily life, I could think of, we're going out in the car. Well, that's easy because Monty likes to get in the car. So let's do more of getting in the car. And, you know, Just the little tiny things, just to focus on what is easy about Kimber, and it grows. Mm. And I was exactly where you were when I did RRI last time. And now the relationship, I live on my own, so I don't have anybody to tell me that. I don't have to explain Cathy to anybody, because there's just the three of us here, so that just make it a lot easier. But yeah, that's just made my whole world and Monty turn around, that 20 minutes on the foot. And I was just like you, I was in bits at the end of it. Mm. But it didn't make a difference.
Thank you.
And then when I went away, I went back and did one of the exercises. I think it was earlier on in RRI, one of the heart connection exercises, and started writing down all the things that were easy. And then that turned into all the things that I loved about him. And the relationship grew from there.
Mm. Thank you very much. Yeah, come here, buddy.
Yeah, I wondered, Linda, have you tried writing his new story? You know, have you gone through the exercise of writing his old story and writing his new story of how you would like it to be?
Yes, I have. The old story, try to make this short, because I started this program last time, and the old story took me like a week, and it wasn't about him, it was about all the other stuff before him, which was really interesting, because when I started, it was, oh God, it was interesting, but it was cathartic and hard, and really made me angry, and all that. But so it's not really about him, it's about the past history, about expectations and foster dogs and rescue dogs and all that other stuff, which might take a week to explain all that, but I thought I'd be the foster dog mother of Australia, and we ended up with this one that had mental problems and almost tried to kill me. And it's like, oh, we had to put her down. And oh, it was horrible. Mm. And then we ended up going away and we were stuck in a cyclone in Fiji and thought we were going to die. And that's when we were waiting for Zuri to be born. And yeah, anyway, it's a long story, but.
Your new story for him.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's more about me versus him. You know, I signed up for this one program. I've got so many of these programs, I can't keep track of them. The one program about yourself that Kathy does, and I haven't been able to keep up with that. So I figure, okay, I'll stick with this one, and eventually I'll catch up on all the other ones, because I think this one is resonating more, at least timely right now, than all the other ones that I can't keep track of. So I think that's what I'll do.
So you have the new story?
Yeah, the new story.
You have the new story? Or you want to work on that for next time?
I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, no, I will. I'll redo that. Thank you. Yeah.
If you do all this thing with the easy, I think that was such powerful thing from Sandra. Remember all the easy, because that's when we're going to focus on that. And then we get into the momentum and we only see the good things.
Yes.
See what happens. Yes. It was really good, Stella. Thank you.
Yes. Mm.
And if I could add, it goes for the humans as well.
Mm.
The focusing on what's easy. And I know that the old story brought a lot of stuff up for me. And I realized that there was a certain element of resentment that I thought had been passed with my partner, but it was still there. And actually, you know, I quite naturally focus on everything about my and it's all wonderful and everything, but I realized that I needed to do that with him as well. And and that has just completely blossomed everything, including their relationship, because I think she was picking up on, that's what came out in the old story, is that she was picking up on a little, it wasn't huge, but it was there, this little guardedness. And so doing it with your partner can be really, really, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I go to a place, you know, in my visualization, I go to a place where, I mean, I won't go into all the details, but basically whatever your imagination takes you to, where it's a situation where you're all having fun, and it can be a very brief moment that you just focus on. And the smile on his face and the wag of the tail, you know, so that you're all united. And it's quite amazing how much that can change in your human relationships as well. So I don't know, because it sounds like there might be a lot of things there that could be helped with that. There we go.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. Jalene?
So yeah, sorry, just to add, that's another thing that Maya's brought into my life, is actually resolving things in my life from before she was here. So I think that's what our dogs do, isn't it? That they bring and open that up, and it gives us an opportunity to deal with stuff that really it needs to be dealt with. Otherwise we're just living in this sub life otherwise. So there we go. I don't know if it...
I can't hear you, Charlene.
No.
Yeah, it's better now.
Is that better?
Yep.
So this is just really for Linda, and I think what I want to say to Linda is that things will get better. And you've got to believe that. When Teddy first arrived, it was really my husband that wanted Teddy. Not that I didn't want him, but I was actually grieving the loss of my dog that I'd had for just over 13 years, Pelly. He was the most amazing wee guy ever. And I didn't feel ready to welcome another dog into the home, but my husband insisted. So he thought that Teddy was going to be his dog. But it basically turned out that from the moment that they met one another, Teddy was almost like paralyzed with fear. And very quickly, my husband went from being kind, patient, understanding to this dog's got to go. Yeah. This dog's got to go back. He yelled a lot. He stomped around a lot. He slammed doors a lot. And sometimes, like, my husband's a big softy. Like, he's the nicest guy ever, and he would do anything for anyone. But when he gets something in his head, it can be very difficult to change his mind. So I just don't try and change his mind. But I think sometimes I would feel that he was doing things on purpose to cause a reaction with Teddy, so that he could then, so that I'd wait to his argument for Teddy going back to the rescue. So I flat out refused. And I said that just was never going to happen. So he told me that he was leaving, that he was going to divorce me. And basically that I'd chosen the dog over him. So I thought, right, well, the dog's not going back. Teddy's not going back. So basically what I did was I came up with a plan. And the plan was that Redford and I were just butting heads. So I had to remove myself from that situation. I didn't leave home, but I moved into another room within my home. And I really focused really, really hard on safe, calm and happy. And the more that I felt safe, calm and happy, the more Teddy felt safe, calm and happy. The more Teddy felt safe, calm and happy, the less reactive he became. I didn't think it was going to work. So for example, I would just leave my shutters open on my windows, because what's the big deal if Teddy barks at someone outside? It's really not a big deal. But it was a big deal because he was filling up his bucket. Well, I need to take Teddy out for a walk. I need to take him out for an hour because he's a collie and collies need to be tired out. Well, no, I didn't need to do that. So it took me such a long time to even get it through to me that a lot of the things that I was doing, I was being way overprotective. I was being way over the top. I'm a complete earth. Maybe with a wee bit of water stuck in there. but I just went into total mothering, overdrive, overkill, smothering, because I just had this need to protect him, which then created a distance between my husband and I. So I started to do kind of what Rhiannon was doing. So though the relationship was quite rocky, I would lay in bed and I would visualise Teddy, my husband and I, like shaped like a triangle. So it didn't really matter where any of us was. There was almost like cords linking us that were just light. And, you know, 2 minutes before that, my husband could be shouting and bawling about how Teddy's a rotten dog and that he's getting sent back to Romania and all this nasty stuff. But I had to try really hard. Sounds a bit hippie-ish, but to just send him love, because I knew that there was something not right with him. And sometimes I think when people are being angry, what they're kind of spouting out, we think, oh, you're just an idiot. But sometimes they actually need to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I think that Redford did need to be heard. He felt undermined. He felt that he wasn't valuable. He actually said at one point, I feel like you love the dog more than you love me. So he was feeling really pushed out. But I just made a rule that whenever Redford started yelling, because Redford is really fiery and he's loud and he talks with his hands and all of that kind of thing. So I had to make a rule that when he started yelling, I either went into a different room or I left. I just went outside, I just left. I just didn't engage in it. And it was really difficult, it was hard. It was hard, but things have got better. Teddy's been here just over a year and it's taken it's taken quite a long time, but so for example, if Teddy starts barking at Redford now, Redford will say something like silly to him, like, I don't know, like he'll call him like a funny, he'll just say something funny or something silly. But then the other day I heard Redford talking to Teddy whilst I was in the bedroom and they were in the front room. Well, Teddy was in the kitchen, so my husband's talking through to him. And he was saying to Teddy, you know, you can bark at me as much as you like, but I love you just the way you are. But he's heard me saying that. And he's watched me, because he's also said to me, oh, Teddy mirrors me, doesn't he? Because when I'm angry or if we have an argument, Teddy starts barking at me. So he's picking up on wee things that I've been doing, but it's been almost a year. Mm. And I think I was probably trying to fix my husband and I was trying to fix my dog, and then I thought my life was a mess. But you know, when I stopped trying to fix everybody and just relaxed, things did get better. But you are so not alone. I can remember one of your very first posts and I thought, oh God, like I know how that feels. And it still happens. It can still flare up, but I feel strong enough to deal with it now. Mm. So I think just try not to maybe feed into his anger, or try not to feed into his loud, shouty type thing. I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do, but that's kind of what's worked for me.
Yeah, thanks. Very helpful. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies, for your wonderful input. That's so helpful and wonderful that you shared your own experiences and suggestions. Very powerful.
Just a last thought. I don't know if Linda, if you've seen Kathy's latest podcast, the one about understanding our emotional intelligence. That is really useful, and that might resonate a lot of to where you are now and help you to understand a little bit about what's going on in your head. And Kathy shares her own experiences, so it brings it down, you know, down to earth as to just how we can unpick all this. I found that one really useful, this last one.
Is that the one about the unconscious competence and that sort of thing? I'm not sure which one that
is. No, it's emotional. She's having a scene with her husband. Yeah. That he's just waited 3 seconds and then she could have her dogs in and they all rushed out. And so she was like, argh! And then she had a protocol to calm down.
No, I haven't heard that one.
It's from Monday.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's only a short podcast, so
we can put a link. We'll put a link to it in the.
Oh, that would be great. That would be absolutely great. Thank you. I'll do. Okay.
The last little thing is that having our tribe. I don't know if you heard Sue's coaching a few weeks ago. Having our tribe. To have us lot, all of you guys, really helps not feel isolated and to be able to cope with what's happening at home a lot better. Because you've got your little fortress.
Yeah.
Where not a fortress as in, you know, keeping out, but just staying safe and feeling that bubble of love that lots of people have been giving us. And it really helps. So use us.
Well, thank you. I feel like I've monopolized tonight, but it's been very helpful and I'm very appreciative.
So, Linda, you know what to do next? What's the next thing you want to do, like practical?
To write out the new story, as you said. Yeah. Well, I've done that. I have to go back and revisit that. I just have to rethink a lot of things, I think.
Yeah. And this very practical thing that Sandra was talking about as well. Mm. Focus on what's easy. You think you can do that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Two things?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Great. Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He's
You're so brave.
Go.
It's so good. We are brave and vulnerable. It's so good.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, very much.
You're welcome.
It's always excellent for everybody, Linda. It helps everybody. Mm. So you're not monopolizing. It's absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so Sonia, you need some help, or you? We have a little bit of time.
It seems very sort of light in comparison to where we've all just been. So simply, it was to do with both Bella and Sandy not really liking to go in the car. They've only been in a few times, and to be fair, two of those times it was the vet injection. Having said that, they seemed perfectly happy at the vets, but they both were a bit travel sick. So we worked on just the standard things. We parked the van down the side of the drive so I could leave all the doors open, and I was throwing the odd, bit of kibble in there, and just no pressure, wambling around. And one of them, Bella, actually started to very happily go in. Sandy was the one that was saying, no, not going in there. She did occasionally if I could get a bit of a game going. Since asking the question, I had a couple more thoughts to sort of break things down a little bit more, with the idea of, closing the door, very short journeys. Because actually, we've been a couple of times where I was sitting in the back with them, keeping them company. So just any ideas that anyone might have that I haven't, I really haven't tried.
So do you notice when the change happened? It's like this, when it goes from the good moment to a not so good moment, you can distinguish that?
You mean when they're in the car?
Or just whenever, before or it's like there's a lot of steps before.
Yeah.
So if you build on the good moment, so we need to figure out where is the good moment.
Yeah, I think they're absolutely fine when, the doors are open, blah, blah, blah. It's definitely...
And they're inside the car, or they're outside the car?
Outside the car, they're completely fine. Completely fine. They don't mind. It's not that they see the car and think, oh my God. It's not that.
Put me in there.
It's more to do with, I think, the idea of, we don't want you to close the door. You know what I mean? Anything to do with, we're going to get stuck in here, or we can't get out of here, I think is a thing. So if I'm in there, if I've got a lead on, they're likely, I can tell they're sort of saying, well, actually, I think I'd really rather be out of here. So I think it is to do with being closed in the car. Both of them are used to, if you like, confinement. They're absolutely fine going in crates and things like that. So I'm not quite sure, other than they've obviously did not like the car journey or whatever. And that has sort of stayed in there.
So if we use your ability to work with the mind and the pictures, have you worked with any of that?
I did with Bella that second time. I think that would be a thing that, I'll presumably just sort of sit in the car and, or buy the car and just be using the idea of suggesting they go in with the picture. I think Bella will. I think there's various ways that, because Bella wasn't as Sandy was. I think for Sandy, I've tried the picture and she just says, no. She says, I'll stay with you. I'll come and lie down by your feet. I'll keep you company, but I'm not getting in the car.
I had a similar thing with Henna, and she wouldn't load into the car. But once I took the pressure off her, it was fine. She'll go in. So what I do is I just attach her lead to a little hook in the back of the car, and I walk away and just leave her to make her own choice and her own decision and do it in her own time. And then she'll get in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, thank you. That was why we moved the car down the driveway, so we could leave it open. And in actual fact, you know, I was, like I said, throwing a handful of whatever in there, and I would walk away. And Bella would always go in. Bella was absolutely straight there. Sandy took a time to the extent that, you know, because I might sort of watch from away or something out the window. And sometimes Sandy, even then, you know, would sort of, no, she's saying that I'm not going in there.
She is a water dog.
The pressure, you know, they feel the pressure even when, if you're not actually right.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I would just go in and do some jobs, and I wouldn't actually know if she had gone in or not gone in. I never set up a camera to see. But she had lots of opportunities, you know, and I would just randomly, you know, throw in another handful of their kibble, their breakfast, or whatever it might be. In the end, Sandy did sometimes go in, sometimes. Mm.
Sonia, yeah. I do have something to say about the kibble. I know where this comes from because I'm part of the same, that I was more, not so much now, the absolute dogs philosophy.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing anything like that with Zoe for a long time now because it is whatever.
Putting a pressure on.
Yes, it's a way. Pairing, as we know, it's the standard training mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Pairing a reward, something nice, which, and especially if a lot of their food goes that way, they're actually hungry anyway. So that it's a forcing, in a sense, to do something.
Yeah.
And that's something that my mindset has totally changed now. I was fully into that. You know, I did the training and everything, was fully into it. And I noticed not long ago that I was still doing it.
it pings up on us.
Putting Zoe's harness on. She doesn't like to put her head through a thing.
Yeah.
So I have been holding the harness there and holding a biscuit at the other side. And she goes there because, you know, she wants the biscuit. I stopped. I suddenly realized, I thought, for God's sake, I can't believe
you've done that. Yeah.
Doing this. I stopped completely. And ever since I've stopped doing that, I just simply say to her, I'm going to put your harness on now because we need to in order to go for a walk. And I just gently put it on her. And she is so much more relaxed about it. So I was wondering with your whole story, rather than going along the, you know, conditioning route.
I mean, certainly I picked up on what we were saying about pressure and everything, and I was definitely trying to keep pressure off. I realized that sometimes, you know, that business of you putting food there and it's, oh, can I, can't I, oh, I don't really know. So I thought, that's, you know, probably not helping here.
Think how you would, you know, go back to how you would feel in a similar the spider story of and maybe you could just experiment for a while, just saying, like Ulla did with her Bella, I'm never going to put you in a situation, I'm never going to force you to do something you don't want to do. So if it's not actually necessary to do anything in the car, why don't you do
it's not necessary at all,
just don't do it for a while.
And
all the other stuff in your relationship and your partnership and safe, calm and happy. And I suspect one day the car just won't be an issue.
Because thank you. For a little while I thought, okay, I'm just not go in there, you know, we don't have to go out in it, you know, it's not an issue. And I sort of thought some time away from the whole idea rather than this idea of working on it, do you know what I mean? So if I just sort of leave it for a while.
Personally, that's what I do. I don't know if other people agree, but
yeah, it just seems a little bit sad because, of course, the reason she went out on her own was because I thought, right, we're just extending what we're doing a little bit more, because for sure, with the two of them, apart from going to the vets, they've been kept safe, calm and happy to the extent that I'm thinking, well, okay, I can do this kind of stuff and get great, you know what I mean, they can come to me at home. But, you know, I do need to sort of think about taking them out and about and extending their life's experiences. So it's not that I have to do any of those things. You know, we can carry on completely as we are. But sometimes you sort of think, well, they'd enjoy themselves going to the woods or going to the beach or whatever it might be. And I think that's the thing that makes you think, it's only a 5-minute journey.
I know. But, you know, maybe it'll be in their timeline, not yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. And it's also only use it when it's necessary. It's like, because they're picking up on that you're let's see if we can do this. Let's see. So
yes, it could easily be.
So it's like when it's necessary, you say, we need to go here because we're going to have fun. And then see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just try it out.
I shall see what happens. But the good thing is there is no urgency to it. It was purely, I thought it would just be nice for Bella and I to trog off to the woods and, you know, have that time. And it's that little bit too far, to walk there.
But if it's important for you and for her, maybe then she will. At that moment, maybe she's ready. If you say
it was interesting that she, she jumped in the car to go there, but then she didn't want to jump in the car to come back. It might be that she didn't want to come home. That's what my husband said. She was having too much fun and didn't want to come home. You know, it could have been. Yeah.
Just need to explain to her. It's mom needs to go home.
We have to. I said, come on, let's go and see Sandy.
Okay. So you have enough to go on?
Yes, I think I'll just leave it for a wee while. Really sort of have the idea of making sure, you know, I'm not in some way that I'm not aware of. You know, because I think I'm being relaxed about it and all the rest of it. And sometimes, you know, we can deceive ourselves. If they don't jump in, it doesn't matter. I'll probably go back to putting the car there just with the doors open and they can just, you know, but not bother with the whole idea of putting something exciting in there, and just make it just nothing really.
Yeah,
a non-event.
Okay, good. So we're very much at the end. So anybody else, everybody's good to go about life, yes, and things and stuff. Any anything more to say?
No, just thank you for a really good deep session today. Thanks everybody for your participating.
Yeah,
we kept our circle. That is really nice. Thank you, everyone.
Good. Thank you. So see you in a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.